Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 to 15. And tonight I want to share with you the biblical salvation. And when we see biblical salvation, we see the divine salvation. Because it is divine salvation we see in the Word of God. But you know, there are many religions in this world. And most of them, I would say all of them except one, present salvation with a humanistic way. As a humanistic means. If you do this, if you do that, if you work hard enough, if you give everything you have to the poor, you will be saved. This is a humanistic way of salvation. It's a deceitful way of salvation. This is exactly what this religion present in this world. If you pray five times a day, if you give everything you have to the poor, God is a good God. He will give you eternal life. That is false. But in the light of Scripture, we see that salvation is in one person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what the Bible gives us. And that is why I am presenting with you the biblical salvation. And this biblical salvation is rooted in Jesus Christ. Many passages of the Bible describe that salvation. And this passage I'm about to read for you is one of them. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 14. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here is the word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt confess with thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, what is the result? Thou shalt be saved. Now Paul is explaining, for with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, what's the result? Shall not be ashamed. Why? For there is no difference, he's still explaining, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, now Paul is giving a series of rhetorical questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? When we talk about biblical salvation or divine salvation, there are three words that we must see. And those three words are found here in this passage. The first one is confession. And the second one is belief. And the third one is call on or call upon. And we see those words here. And what does that mean, confession? When you confess, you acknowledge a fact about something or a person, either publicly or privately. For instance, this microphone is a black microphone. If you say that microphone is a white microphone, that's not a confession. Because confession, you say exactly what you see, the fact about something or a person. So this microphone is black, that is the confession. And the second one is belief. Belief is you put trust in something or in a person. It's a heart conviction. You believe in something. For instance, when you travel from here to LA or to Miami, you take an airplane. If you knew in advance that as soon as you take the airplane and that airplane was going to crash, would you still take that airplane? No. Why do you still take it? It's because you have a hard conviction. You believe that this airplane will carry you to your final destination. When you drive 80 miles per hour, you have no fear in your heart. Why? You believe in something. What is the object of your faith? It's the brake. You believe that as soon as you want the car to stop, you're going to press the brake. And the brake will work for you. That's the way it works. So when we talk about biblical salvation, we see those words. We see confession. We see belief. And we see, in other words, we call upon something or a person. So the first thing you see here, see those words, the object of this word. You see, if you confess who? The Lord Jesus. If you believe that God raised who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So biblical salvation is Christocentric, Christ-centered. We have to confess Jesus Christ. We have to confess Him as Lord. And that is why I'm saying with you the necessity of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, in biblical salvation. If you confess Jesus Christ, if you believe Him, what is the result? You will see the result later. So it is necessary that you and I, that the world, that the sinners confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Almighty, as the highest one, as the Savior. We have to confess Him. If we do not confess Him as Lord, as the Savior, as King, there is no salvation. And the Bible says, all knees will confess Him. If you don't want to confess Him right now, later you will, because you must confess Him. And it's better to confess Him now for salvation, because later if you confess Him where you are ready to go to hell, you have no rescue. Now you can confess Him. We must confess Him as Lord, as the King, as the Savior. The necessity of confession. And the second one, the necessity of belief. We have to believe Him. Believe that God raised Him from the dead. That means He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. We have to believe that. The world must believe, must confess Him as Lord, and must believe in Him for salvation. The Haitian people must confess Him. American people must confess Jesus Christ for salvation. Because apart from Him, there is no salvation. But do you know something can be important but not necessary? For instance, can you live without a foot? Amputation. Of course, the earthquake that happened in Haiti in 2010 killed more than 300,000 people. Some people are amputated. They have only one hand or one foot, but they are still alive. They are important to keep them in existence, but not necessary. Can you live without some teeth, without an eye? Of course, yes. My father is 80 years old. He lost some teeth. He's still alive. So the teeth are important for his existence, but not necessary to keep him in existence. But now, can you live without a heart? A heart means you're dead. You're no longer in existence. Without the brain, you are no longer there. So your heart, your brain, they are necessary to keep you in existence. So when we say something is necessary, what do we say? We say it is indispensable, sine qua non, unavoidable, inevitable. In biblical salvation, Jesus Christ is necessary, is unavoidable, indispensable, sine qua non. We must confess Him. We must believe Him. We must trust in Him for salvation. But you know, some people say, well, I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. Talk to me about God because I believe in God. But don't talk to me about your Jesus Christ. Talk to me about God. Let me tell you, people who speak like that, who express themselves like that, reveals exactly that they know nothing about Christianity. And they reveal that they don't know the Father, because Jesus says, how can you get the Father without me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except by me. Now, how can you say, talk to me, I know God, and I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to hear about your Jesus Christ. Keep Him for you, for yourself. Those people are on their way to hell. My brothers and sisters, people must confess Jesus Christ as Lord. People must believe in Him, because apart from Him, There is no salvation. How did you get saved? Because of your good works? Because of what you have done? No. You got saved because of Christ's works on the cross for you. His righteousness. And this is exactly what the world need to hear for salvation. And today, people don't even want, some churches don't even want to talk about heaven, about hell, about sin. But we are called to talk about it. We are called to talk about confession in Jesus Christ, believing in Him, the necessity of Jesus Christ in biblical salvation. And now I want you to see the availability of this salvation, this biblical salvation. Paul was talking to the Jews and the Greek. And the beginning of this chapter, chapter 1 and 2, Paul was explaining that the whole world is under sin. The whole world is under sin. And now, in chapter 10, Paul is saying salvation is available to the whole world in Jesus Christ. And you can see why Paul is saying that, because in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, Paul is explaining there is none, no, not one. All have sinned. All. And because the whole world is in that sinful basket and they cannot save themselves, God in His mercy sent Jesus Christ to die for sinners. And now Paul is saying, he's using this pronoun, whoever believes in Jesus Christ. He didn't say, you Jews, if you only believe in Christ. You, the Greek, the Gentiles, no. He said, all of you, because the Greek and the Gentiles are sinners. And they need salvation. And that salvation is in one person. And this salvation is available. But Paul wasn't talking about universalism, that the whole world will be saved because God is a good God. That's not true. I know some people in my family, they heard about Christ, they rejected Him, and they die. If I believe in the Word of God, I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that the whole world will be saved. Because the Bible says, if you confess Jesus Christ, if you believe in Him, thou shalt be saved. And those people didn't believe in Christ. So Paul is not explaining that the whole world will be saved. He's saying that when we confess Jesus Christ, when we believe that God raised Him from the dead, there is salvation. This salvation is available to the Haitians who are serving the devil right now. Just like you come here to worship God, there are many places in Haiti. People go to worship the devil. But this salvation is available to them as well. This salvation is available to American people. This salvation is available to French people, Russian people, the whole world. And this is our duty to go out to share that word. We see availability of this word. And finally, we see the result of believing in Jesus Christ. The result of confessing Him as Christ, as Lord. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, what is the result? Thou shalt be saved. So salvation is not a result of good works. It's not a result of giving everything to the poor and that the Lord will save you. No. Salvation is a result of placing your faith in Christ, of confessing Him as Lord. Because this is exactly what the Bible says. Christ alone. And in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. This result again. Confession is made unto salvation. Result of believing, of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Some people said, well, I don't need Jesus Christ to go to heaven. But here we see it. By believing, we have righteousness. So in order for us to go to heaven, we have to be righteous. Are we righteous? We are not righteous. Now, the fact that we are not righteous, we are condemned. We cannot make it to heaven. How can we make it? We cannot. But see what God has done. In His grace, in His mercy, He sent righteousness. That righteousness is Jesus Christ. By believing in Jesus Christ, His righteousness is granted to us, is imputed to us. And now, we have the qualification to go to heaven. But how can you say, I'm going to go to heaven without that Christ? You say, I don't need righteousness to go to heaven. Only those who are perishing will say those words. I don't need Christ. But for you and I, we know we need that Jesus Christ. For your grandsons, your granddaughter, your brother, or those in your family who don't know Christ, they need that Christ. They need to confess Him to have that righteousness. Because without Christ, there is no salvation. But I will tell you, if we don't go out to share that righteousness to the world will not call upon the name of Jesus Christ. How did my grandfather call upon the name of Jesus Christ? By believing. But how did he believe? By hearing. From who? From an American missionary. So if we do not preach, this is verse 14, 15. If we do not preach, people won't hear. And if they don't hear, they won't believe and they won't call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And this is our duty to go out, to share that, to preach, to proclaim the gospel to the world so that they can believe and call upon the name of Jesus Christ. You are saved. You don't need to go to a big place to share the gospel. You can go right in your house. You will find maybe your brother, your sister, your daughter-in-law, your brother-in-law, or your grandma, your grandson. They don't know the Lord, perhaps. The Lord is not going to use a stone, a piece of wood to speak for Him. He can, He is God. But He didn't say He's going to use them. He's going to use us, Christians, to share the Word of God. Are you willing to do that tonight? To go out right here, just as I'm going to Haiti, right here in the United States, you can do the same thing. Heavenly Father, we praise Your name. We exalt Your name.